Well, welcome again to Spokane Baptist this morning for the adult Bible study hour. And all day yesterday, I kept thinking tomorrow's Monday because I spent the day at church yesterday. I hope most of you are able to catch that memorial service for Doug Wolf. It was really a nice, nice service. And I tell you, the gospel went out in power. Yeah, you know. We were talking after. A lot of people were still rejecting it that were here, but they heard it.
That's right.
And it's going to come to mind. And who knows, maybe a few will tune in this morning even. And so I'm waiting to hear some good stories come out of that because it was a special time. But keep the Wolf family, Dan and the kids, in your prayers too as they, you know, it's kind of, you get all busy and all that stuff. Now then everybody disperses and family goes home and so I told her, don't get lonely. Come back to church, you know, as soon as you can. So, but be praying for him. All right. This morning, Moses and Jochebed, the journey to the palace is our title. And, you know, it's just, you kind of think about the journey to heaven even, you know, and just how exciting that's going to be and how God's going to provide. And we're going to talk about his provision this morning some. And the story's in Exodus 1, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. And we're going to read starting in verse 6 through the end of the chapter. But then keep your finger there because we're going to look closer at chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. But for the reading this morning, we'll just read verses 6 through the end of the chapter 1 of Exodus. So if you're able, if you'd stand with me for the reading of God's word, we will do that, and then we'll pray. So Exodus chapter 1, starting in verse 6. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let's deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much again for your word and these historical true stories that you give us, Lord, to look into and to learn from. Lord, to see just what a mighty hand of blessing and protection you gave over these Israelites and the early struggles here in Egypt, Lord, to protect them and to watch over them, and even to end up giving favor to the midwives that disobeyed, but to just to keep the nation strong and prepared for what is to come. Lord, I just pray for us that you'd prepare us similarly, Lord, that we would be strengthened and prepared as you provide for us with the coming troubles. So thank you for that lesson this morning. Dear God, pray you'll bless our time together. Help me to get out of the way and just that your word would go forth and speak to each one of our hearts as we prepare the fertile ground to hear it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And you may be seated. Well, as Christians, we must trust the provision of the Lord and seek to fulfill the purposes given to us by him. As parents, we must protect our homes from the threat of evil and provide a Christ-honoring, loving environment for our children as we seek to raise them to discover God's unique purposes for their own lives. As I went through this, you know, it's a little bit like this is written more a lot towards parents and raising children, but it just hit me, you know, we're called his little children. You know, and so this message I really feel is for the entire church, you know, even for me as a child of God, to learn from and just to take the things out of. So I really pray that, you know, even though you'll hear a lot of references to parents and raising kids, many of us are maybe past that stage at home, but not here at church. You know, we're raising children and you know, friends and family members all around us. And, you know, an amazing number of grandparents that are raising children, even here. So it's not one of those to say, well, this isn't to me. You know, I would just encourage us all to make sure it is to us and get the message that God has for us as we go through this. Because there's a lot of good things in here. So as we do that, in our world today, the media belittles biblical family values. We're all aware of that. They belittle church values. You know, they're mocking and doing that all the time. Motherhood does not get much encouragement from our society. The feminist movement deplores the concept of a mom staying at home. And the crowd who defends abortion rights sends a message about motherhood that is undesirable. In reality, motherhood is the most influential role on the planet Earth. And you know, you'd see that over and over again. It is really the most influential thing that can happen, is motherhood. A school teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on magnets and how they have the ability to pick objects up off the ground. The next day, the teacher gave her kids a pop quiz. She said, my name has six letters and I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was surprised to find that almost half her students answered the question not with the word magnet, but with the word mother. The children had concluded that mothers pick up things, not magnets. And I know even today in my household, it's a four-letter word, wife. Always picking up things after me, it seems like, and I see a lot of nodding going out there, guys, so... it's just one of those things, you know, that we get picked up at. Praise God. And thank you, dear, for doing that. Well, interesting story. And this is 2007. So hard to believe that's 14 years ago that Newsweek ran this story. It stated that the average mom at home works 92 hours a week. Another study found that if a typical mother were paid for all the duties she did in the home, she would earn an average of $138,095 a year. That was 14 years ago. It'd easily be $200,000 today. In the business world, if she was doing everything she did, this figure comes from the tasks accomplished by a mother in an average day. You see, in an average day, a mother can be a taxi cab driver, a counselor, an engineer, a carpenter, an accountant, a judge, a motivational speaker, a teacher, a chef, a supervisor, a personal assistant, an event coordinator, an administrator, and a preacher. Whew, that's one busy mom. But you can just see that in the things that go on. You combine all those jobs together, and you couldn't pay a mother enough, paying $138,095 or even $200,000 a year sounds cheap when it comes right down to it. The work that, and this is still Newsweek, the work that most mothers do is priceless. November or May 14th of 2007, Mother's Day that year. The Bible also says a virtuous woman, a godly mother, is priceless. There in your worksheet, Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is as far above rubies. And Proverbs 31:28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Amen. Moses was born into a wicked world during the time of the Egyptian bondage. During this period in history, the Jews suffered 400 years of difficulties. One of the greatest trials and most reprehensible acts committed by the Pharaoh was his command to the Jewish midwives to kill the male babies as they were born. Moses' mother, Jochebed, acted wisely in the face of great danger. There is much to be learned from her journey of faith. So first we look at, number one, the protection of Jochebed. The protection of Jochebed. And if you're still in your Bibles, Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to witness what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maiden walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. So you can just picture that. You know, here they're supposed to be watching for these babies and killing them, but, you know, and as they're hidden, and all of a sudden they come across this ark and their bulrushes, and they look, and there's a baby inside. Jochebed had a child named Moses, whom she wanted to protect from Pharaoh's evil command to kill all the baby boys. God's plan, however, went beyond merely protecting the baby from death. It involved giving Moses the foundation to be a great man to be used by God. From our text, we gain a glimpse of Moses' childhood as he begins his journey for the faith. On the worksheet, Proverbs 1:8 tells us, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Well, he protected Jochebed, letter A, from the threat of evil. From the threat of evil. Jochebed hid Moses from the evil influences that threatened him. Hebrews 11:23 there tells us, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Wickedness in Moses' day threatened to eliminate God's chosen people. While Pharaoh was planning the extermination of the Jewish people, God was preparing their emancipation in the protection of baby Moses. God not only saved Moses from death, but he had a special mission for him to accomplish. A purpose given to him at birth. He was to be the leader of Israel, and God would guide him every step of the way on his journey for the faith. The faith of Jochebed gave her the courage to protect Moses from the threat of evil. She chose to put her life in danger in order to preserve and shelter Moses from the threat of this wickedness. Hidden in a small basket on the Nile River, Moses was protected from Pharaoh's order. God's hand was evident as the princess felt pity for the child. She further ensured Moses' protection from the Pharaoh's wicked command. Just as Satan attempted to destroy the Jewish race in Jochebed's day, he's trying to eliminate future generations of Christians today. Yet, even when evil is rampant, God is willing and able to lead and protect his children on their journey. Boy, and it, you know, just Wednesday night, if you happen to catch the message from the HRC that protects, you know, the kids that are being trafficked, and I was almost totally overwhelmed at just the evil of that and just how sad it is and how important it is to reach out to these kids and try to protect them from the evil that's rampant out there, just like it was back in that day. Well, then, letter B was protected from the attack of Satan. Jochebed not only protected Moses from the threat of evil, she also protected him from a direct attack from Satan. Satan's purpose was to destroy the entire nation of Israel, and he was accomplishing it by attacking the family. If all the male children were killed, that would eliminate the future generations. Satan is trying to destroy the Christian family in our world today by turning the hearts of children against their parents and infiltrating their lives with wickedness. In this evil day, God is calling parents to be like Jochebed, willing to protect their families from evil that is so prevalent in our society. There are several key ways in which we can protect our children. These are listed in your handout as we go through. And it just hit me, though, but it's just so true of the church, too. You know, last night at their prayer meeting, we were praying for people's faith that is wavering. You know, it's just getting challenged so much. And Christians also are just, they're being attacked, and our faith tends to waver if we're just not solidly together and focused on the Lord. So we need to do that. So these principles, I think, apply to all that, not only just our kids. There, number one is to set boundaries. To set boundaries in the scripture, Proverbs 4, 1 and 2. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. So important to let them know what the rules are. And God has done that. You know, he gives us the instruction to understand. One student gave a humorous definition of a grandmother. She's someone who comes to visit and keeps your mother from spanking you. While this definition may be true in many cases, God has still placed authority into his institutions. The family is God's institution. And as parents, we are required to establish boundaries for our children. The church is his institution as well. And we need to have these boundaries and, you know, the expectations. And we'll get to the forgiveness part when we mess up. But it's just important that, you know, we have standards when the world is trying to get away from all standards. Standards and guidelines are not designed to rob joy. They are designed to protect. It's really designed to protect. There is safety, a feeling of security in having boundaries. We hear that a lot, and you witness that when you see families with boundaries. Then number two, we should give warning. Give warning. The scripture from Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wow, so true. And I love this next story. I had to change all the words because it's just so appropriate. You know, I've shared before, when Josh was little, we called him the radio, right? You knew what he was thinking because it was coming out of his mouth, and it was constant. Well, it's just only fair that he got one himself, and little Hugo. You know, Hugo, 4 years old, the story goes, he's now just turned 5, but he's an incessant talker. This made it difficult for his parents when it was time to put him to bed at night. One evening, Josh was putting Hugo to bed, but he just wasn't ready to stop talking. He said his prayers, been tucked in, and had been told goodnight, but he wasn't ready to be quiet. His dad reminded him again that it was time to stop talking and go to sleep, to which little Hugo replied, "But Daddy, my mouth is not empty yet." I've actually heard him say stuff like that, you know. So I can totally picture him saying that. "My mouth's not empty. I got to keep talking." Oh, he is so cute. Anyway. The average parent will readily admit that when it comes time to give warning, they do it often. You know, if you don't stop, or I'm going to, you know. However, it's important to remember the following quote. Strictness does not ruin children. Harshness rules children. I like that. Strictness does not ruin children. Harshness ruins children. As parents, church leaders, we must ask God for wisdom to be strict, but not harsh in our warnings as we strive to protect our children. We want to do it in love. Which means, number three, set an example. Set an example. 2 Timothy 1:5 there. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. He had the example, Timothy did, of his mother and grandmother, how important that was to his formation as a Christian. We've all heard the same, and have probably repeated the same, do as I say, don't as I do. You know, we often say that, don't do as I do, but do as I say. Or I told you why, or, you know, because I said so, I guess. Children, however, may not always do as you say, but they almost always do as you do. Sad to say how true that is sometimes, because they catch more by example. It's really true. In making an effort to protect our children from Satan's attack, it is imperative that we maintain a consistent and godly example before them in all areas of life. We want to display what we want to see out of them. Which then, number four, be wise to that which is good. Be wise to that which is good. Romans 16:19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. In other words, it's not real complicated, you know. Avoid evil, concentrate on what is good, and be wise about that. A grandmother was trying to teach her grandsons not to be mean to girls. Two of her grandsons were playing marbles when a pretty little girl walked by. I'll tell you, said Jake to J.D., when I stop hating girls, that's the one I'm going to stop hating first. He was already scoping them out like that. Even at a young age, we need to teach our children to be wise concerning that which is good. The world is doing a very good job at advertising that which is evil. And sadly, many young people are very knowledgeable about wickedness in our day, and not in a good way. May we do our part as parents to uplift and to teach that which is good. I just think it's so important to have the kids in Sunday school, and we'll talk about that probably again, and in church, and, you know, being that example, but being that example on the way home and at home as well, and to keep that in front of the kids and of our church people. By number five, teach the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, pretty much all the time. The Word of God ought to be present in our situations. Teaching God's Word to our children is essential. The Bible is our sword and main source of protection against the evils of this world. Like, you know, the two-edged sword against the evils. We need to use it and display it. In Deuteronomy, we find that the command to diligently teach our children from the Scriptures. If your teaching cannot be described as diligent and purposeful, perhaps an adjustment should be made for the sake of your children's protection. We need to watch out for our little ones. And I just consider you all my little ones. I'm older than most of you. So, and we just need to, we need to care that much, you know, to be diligent about the Scripture. That's just, again, why we love this church. You know, we're taught the Word of God at least every Sunday and Wednesday night, you know, straight out of the Scriptures. Then finally, though, number six, very important, is practice forgiveness. To practice forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Wow. And when you think all that we've been forgiven, we should not be holding any grudges against anybody, you know, to forgive. May our children always rest in the security of our forgiveness. How we thank the Lord for the forgiveness he has shown to us. Yet we must also express that same forgiveness to our children. May they rest in the comfort and protection that our forgiveness can provide, knowing they can always come back to get that hug, even if they've been in trouble. So then, number two, we see the provision of the Lord. The provision of the Lord. Back to the text in Exodus 2, verses 5 through 9. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And I stopped there for a minute. I just, when I thought it, I thought, you know, this is a budding Baptist. She saw a picnic basket. She went to see what was in that. And when she found it was a child, she had compassion on the child. I like both pictures of the Baptist church there. Looking for food, but finding a kid, but to be kind to it, and took pity on it. Continues in verse 6. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. How wonderful is that? Not only does she get to nurse her own child, now she's going to get paid for it. She's going to start making some of that $200,000 for taking care of a kid that she wanted to do. Again, only God can do that and work that out. Satan is attacking the Christian family through drugs, immorality, alcohol, music, worldly lifestyles. These threats are a part of a frontal attack, one that is directly aimed at destroying our children and our families. We can thank the Lord for the protection he provides against these attacks. Just as he provided for Moses as he floated down the Nile, he wants to provide for us as we press forward on our journeys for the faith. Let's press onward. As we see, letter A, he provided a place for Moses. He provided a place. God's grace is clearly seen throughout Moses' journey, and specifically as God brings him to the palace to be cared for. Before the Egyptian princess thought to call for a nurse, God planned for Moses' own mother to raise him in the palace and provide a foundation of godliness. Many believe Jochebed was able to train and teach him until he was 5 or 6 years old. And I remember hearing that a lot, you know, the formation of your kids when they're between 5 and 6 is just so important. You know, and we certainly see that with Moses. You know, later he's training for the war and the battles and everything. But those first 6 years with his mother when she could train him. And that's so too with our kids too, you know, that foundation can be laid so early and it's so important. And I'd say again, the first 5 or 6 years of being a Christian, get the foundations in there and get them rock solid so they can withstand and stand later on as we go. In spite of the unusual circumstances, God allowed Moses' family to provide for him. There on your worksheet, 1 Timothy 5:8 tells us, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Quite the warning to provide for our house and the house of God. God's unique provision prepared Moses for his future, having the foundation of godliness instilled by his mother. Moses was then educated in Pharaoh's court. This gave him a knowledge of the inner workings of the palace, which he would later need as God's ambassador to that court. For us, he provides us Principles. Letter B, he provides principles for us. Ephesians 6:4. And ye, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, don't be harsh with them, but bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. God commands us to train and to teach our children. Another illustration, there's often a gap between what is actually said and what the child hears. While teaching a group of children, a children's pastor was answering the question, what is God like? As he was explaining the eternality of God, he made the statement, God is eternal. A young child quickly questioned what she heard. God is a turtle? Boy, can I relate to that. Entering childhood, I guess. Is God a turtle? She asked. She understood what was said in light of the words familiar to her. We must remember to teach in ways that can be understood by a child. We want to keep it simple so everybody can. Because a lot of the phrases we tend to use in church, you know, a lot of newbies, they don't quite understand. They're not used to it. So it's important to know that we keep it simple. God commands us to bring up our children in the nurture of the Lord. Nurture speaks of discipline. In 1 Timothy 5:14, it's referred to as guiding the house. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So to be the guide in the house, to make sure that things are in order. While many parents discipline out of a spirit of frustration and anger, may we exercise godliness and discipline in our children from a heart of love. We must also nurture in a home of order. Often chaos and confusion can breed unruly children. May our homes be a place of loving correction and godly order as we seek to raise our children. Raising godly children also requires admonition, which is teaching. Proverbs 1, 8, and 9 say, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. You know, the word, and again, the word often refers to us as his children, his flock, you know, his sheep. And we need the teaching. We need the admonition, you know, and we get that here. Praise God. That's Spokane Baptist. May we never underestimate the importance of teaching. The choices young people make later in life will be greatly influenced by the protection and training they received in their early years. And as ever, trying times, things we learn here and are taught here, especially like going through a revelation, you know, that should be strengthening us and getting us ready, you know, to be able to protect that and guard that. Like Jochebed, may we purposefully teach our children on a daily basis. John Wesley, the great preacher of years gone by, said, I learned more about God from my mother than from all the theologians in England. Wow, so true. He learned more from his mother. Kind of like the pastor here. Right? Right. Philippians 4:9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see him, you hear him, do him, and then the God of peace will be with you. What a promise. The greatest way to provide for your family is to pray that each one would know Jesus as his Savior. Biggest thing, the best thing we can do. Which gives us number three, the purpose of Moses. The purpose. There on your worksheet, Hebrews 11:24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He had bigger things to look for than just what the palace could give him. That's his early training. That's the foundation that was laid in his life. How important. Like each one of us, God had a purpose for Moses. The purpose he had for Moses is the same purpose he has for us today. May we be challenged by the example of Moses and be determined to fulfill God's purpose for our own lives. His first purpose was to, A, identify with God's people. To identify with, you know, I would say today, be proud we're a Christian. Moses grew up to be a man who purposed to identify with God and his people. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and in doing so, fulfilled God's purpose of identifying with him. God also commands the same identification from us. He desires that we identify and fellowship with God's people through the institution of the local church. Parents should become concerned when a teen is bent on acceptance from a peer or a world system. Boy, we had some of that shared with us Wednesday night, didn't we? Signs to look out for, and so important, just talking about that with the teens and being aware of what the world and how these people get their hooks into them. You know, they're young and impressionable, looking for, some positive feedback online or, you know, places they shouldn't be looking for it. They're so vulnerable. We need to watch out for them, people. We need to look out for our own. Hebrews 10:25, there in the worksheet. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, I don't know about you, but I see the day approaching. So much the more we should be about his business and protecting one another and our kids. Well, then, letter B, he was to separate from sin. He was to separate from sin. The story goes, a little boy was traveling with his mother over the holidays. As they approached the airline ticket counter, the little guy informed the agent that he was 2 years old. Suspiciously, the agent looked down at the boy and asked, "Do you know what happens to little boys who lie?" The young traveler smiled. "Yep, they get to fly for half price." I think he got some coaching on the wrong way there. Whew. But no matter how young or old we are, God desires that we separate from sin. Just as Daniel of the Old Testament, we must personally determine to separate from sin. They're on the worksheet, Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested all the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He just didn't want anything to do with it, and he stood up early to do that. And then Moses was called on letter C to wait on God's reward. Sometimes we have to wait for the reward. The third purpose learned from the life of Moses is to wait on God's reward. God blesses those who follow him on their journey of faith. Earth's riches pale in comparison to the great rewards given by God. You know, don't go for the quick find, the quick enrichment or satisfaction, but have a longer perspective of heaven and the true riches that await for us. So in conclusion, Moses' journey for the faith was a journey of protection, provision, and purpose. It is a journey on which God leads all his children. May we rest in his protection, trust in his provision, and live out his purpose for our lives. May we protect, provide for, and give purpose to the next generation that's starting out on their journey of faith. And for our next wave of Christians that might come and do come to this church for their journey of faith. We need to strengthen them, give them purpose, provide for them, protect them. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word, Lord. Just such an important message for all of us as we do fear for the next generation of children, for sure, with what's going on in the world. But even for the wave of Christians, we do pray there's a great revival, and it would be more and more Christians come to church seeking the truth. And Lord, that we would be equipped to strengthen them and provide for them, protect them by giving them the truth and getting them excited about serving you. So Lord, help us do all these things as we seek to follow you and to strive after you. We need your strength, and we can only do it in your power. Lord, O Holy Spirit, just guide us and help us to do that. We pray for the service to come as we learn more about the things that are to come. Just give the pastor your words of encouragement, but also of admonition for all of us and all that might hear and reach out today to hear the lesson on the four horsemen. Lord, that we need to really personalize this, to bring it into our lives and to our hearts, to want to be strong and faithful and be an example to others, but offer forgiveness to those when we stumble. Thank you for these great lessons this morning from Jochebed and Moses. Lord, we just so appreciate your word. So bless each one that came and that would to stay for the lesson. And we thank you for it and ask it in Jesus' precious, wonderful, and glorious name. Amen. Well, next week, we have the journey to Egypt. So we'll go back now and pick up the story of Joseph, truly one of the great biblical characters, and be excited to do that. So look forward to the story of Joseph next week on his how he ended up with all these people in Egypt multiplying. So for now, we'll sing our theme song, I Am Resolved to Follow Jesus. You're dismissed. Get your coffee refilled at home, and God bless you all for coming.